I haven't. I haven't had a chance to read the freaking Inquirer.
I'm sorry. Those pictures of Whitney Houston's bathroom are just unbelievable.
Yeah. And you notice the best part about those photos of Whitney Houston's bathroom is, you know, at a certain point when the crack runs out, she's going to be licking the counter.
Oh, God.
And every other surface. Well, because that's the inevitable end road for addicts, right? Licking every available surface, hoping to get some residue. Don't do drugs, kids.
I just love all the quotes on here. Whitney did crack with me.
Yeah.
She's scary without her false teeth.
Really? Tim, without her false teeth?
Yeah. During her drug binges, Whitney often loses a set of 8 false teeth that she wears. She loses them in the house, and when she's out on drug binges, they cost $6,000. And the dentist has to keep FedExing her new sets.
Why
did you read that? This is gold.
I haven't read it at all because I came in here and my producer took it away from me.
Oh.
I got it last night. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We're going to be behind. It's 5:03, but we are on time now. As of now, we are ahead. We are on time. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's Monday. It is Monday, April 3rd, right? Monday, April 3rd. We are now 17 days away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 9. Is it number 9? Number 9? Number 9? Have we determined that that is the case?
I haven't counted them all.
Yeah,
how is it possible that we here on the show don't know?
I don't know. Why don't we count them?
Let's count them right now, shall we? It's 503-733-2970, by the way. Here's what's coming up this hour. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy is going to be here. We're going to talk about Basic Instinct 2, believe it or not. Tori Spelling. Sport Fight 15, which is coming up this Saturday, April 8th. And I'm holding off on giving any details about semifinalists and where we're at right now because it's actually it's all being tallied over at the promotions. People are tallying that up right now. And I don't want to open my big yap, as they say, and give out information that's wrong. So Sport Fight 15 is happening this Saturday. A couple quick notes on that. Matt the Law Lindland is going to be in studio Wednesday with us. And I'm going to make him punch something. I'm going to find something big and strong and thick and make him punch it. Randy the Natural Couture is going to be here Thursday as well. And then this Saturday, Sport Fight 15 happens at the Rose Garden. And we're going to be there because they're going to be doing the City versus Suburbs fight, that bout, and they've asked us to help locate somebody to represent the city, somebody to represent the suburbs, and we did that all weekend, helped them find people, and as soon as we get semi-finalist and finalist information, we'll talk about that. So that's all coming up. I do have to say, by the way, just as a side note, though, that the suburban people, I have to give them props, that the suburban people really turned out. And I think it's because of my relentless taunting. I think it's because I made so many comments about the suburban people being sissies that I was looking at the entries from over the weekend, and the suburban people just poured out of the woodwork, wanting to be part of it. Like at a 3-to-1 ratio to the city people. Because I think everybody in the city sort of figured that it was already taken care of. I think some guy was like a pipe fitter in Southeast. I think he probably figured, well, the city's going to be covered. What do I need to worry about it for? So, like, 3 times as many suburban people went to the website and they registered for this. So we'll have all those details later on. And then Matt Lindland and Randy the Natural Couture in the studio this week, Wednesday and Thursday, to talk about Sports Fight. And we also have some tickets for that, too. Weston Sports Fight. We have pairs of tickets we're going to be giving away today and all week. So that's all coming up. So we're going to get to all of that. And I got this thing about a teacher giving this hickey to a student, and it's all. And I got this thing about Liza Minnelli and no arms. Ah, she has arms. It's somebody else. So let's all stop and breathe for a moment, though.
All right, so what's something we could get done that we're supposed to do right now?
I got a whole list. No, I got a list. I was just taking a moment.
Without that list?
I know that this show can sometimes get a little frantic sounding.
Well, yeah.
I know that it is. I know that I do have what some people have agreed to call an abundance of energy.
I know, and I see you already starting to deviate from the list. Where's the list?
I'm not deviating from the list. Basic Instinct 2.
Okay.
There's really nothing to say about it except that I tried. So no one here saw it. By the way, if anybody out there saw Basic Instinct 2, and I'm not expecting that anybody did, I can almost hear the echo as I say these words.
Who would take $8 out of their wallet or their bank account and spend it on that?
You may be a theater employee. You may have been a homeless guy looking for a warm place to sleep for 2 hours. You may have been trying to go see Failure to Launch or something, and you wandered into the wrong theater. You may have had to go with someone who sleeps with you, and therefore you were dependent upon you. You had no choice. Doesn't matter. If you are like the one person in Portland who saw Basic Instinct 2, and you're probably not, if you feel free to call us, Bubba. You whatever. You know, it's 503-733-2970. And we're not going to get anybody, though, because look at, listen to this. Now, Box Office Mojo, and how great that, that Tim and I both pulled this because we both knew that it would be, it would be the thing. So this Ice Age, the Meltdown took in, god damn it, took in $70 million. That's the Leguizamo talking muskrat thing, right?
Yeah.
All right. $70 million. Inside Man is at $52 million. Let's see, what else? ATL, the segment of the audience that's not in jail, gave it $12 million. Failure to Launch, which I will never see. 73. Matthew McConaughey. Do you know Matthew McConaughey, one of those guys? It's like, this is, he did this. What was the last thing Matthew McConaughey did before this film?
Sahara.
Without missing a beat. Listen to that.
It was the worst movie I saw for free last year.
Well, that was like 2 years ago, right?
That was one of Scott Daly's.
Isn't he one of those, thank you, Scott. Isn't he one of those guys? Matthew McConaughey's that guy that just, he will be ranked like people's sexiest man alive for the rest of his life, even when he stops doing, like, even when he's not doing anything.
He's like not really doing anything now. I even mean, when he was hot and dazed and confused,
he's
and that's
bleaching
about
his
it.
Teeth. That's about it.
He's like Mark Harmon. All he has to do is show up in public in a towel once, and he's like world's sexiest man for the rest of his life. V for Vendetta. I'm going through the box office, by the way. We're five. Place number six, Stay Alive. Isn't that a horror film? I have no idea what that is.
That's a John Travolta movie.
No. That's the bad sequel to the thing. Number seven, with $26 million, She's the Man. That's that Amanda Bynes. Isn't that her?
Yeah,
that looks terrible.
Like her.
I like her because I found that she's of age. That's why I like her. Let's see. Slither, beaten by a movie called Slither. Slither is that? Slither is, it's like some killer slugs or something on the loose.
That $3 million. Gross.
Didn't see it. And at number nine, with a whopping 3 day total of $3,002,000. That's Basic Instinct 2, by the way. And the really depressing part about this, like if you're anybody, like if you're Sharon Stone, is that it's on 1,500 screens. It's on 1,500 screens. And it averaged, the great thing about Box Office Mojo is they do the per screen average. It averaged per screen $700. Boy, that's just depressing.
I mean, just looking at the title of the marquee makes you feel dirty.
If ever a movie just screamed straight to cable starring somebody other than the person who was... It really does scream like a dust-covered DVD sitting at the Hollywood Video starring Anna Nicole Smith. I can't even... it just barely edged out that Larry the Cable Guy movie. That Larry the Cable Guy movie, Health Inspector, that made $600. Boy, I'm happy to see that thing just tanked. Boy, it just makes me feel, that warms my heart. Every so often you feel that humanity is just done for. You feel like you're just going to stick a fork in all of creation and just toss us off a cliff because there's nothing remotely redeeming about us. You feel like we've had it as a species, we're done, that the Earth's going to kick us off like a case of bad fleas. But then you see that the Larry the Cable Guy movie bombs and is going to lose money. And that makes you feel good about your place in the world. So there you go. Basic Instinct. And by the way, we should know that we haven't heard from a single person. There is no one in Portland. $700 a screen. If that's playing at, so it's playing at $700 a screen. That means what if it's $8 a throw? If it's $8 a ticket, there's, let's say what, 6 screenings a day? That's 18 screenings over a week. Hold on, before we move on, let me find the calculator. Accessories. Let's see. System tool. The hell was the calculator? I have no... Oh, wait, here we go.
You probably didn't fill out the necessary paperwork to use it yet.
So how much did it average? How many dollars?
$700-something.
$700. So how do I figure that out? That's the total number...
$700 per theater?
So, yeah, $700 per screen. Okay. So it's... Wait, how do I figure that out?
All right, so if it's
I'm trying
screenings,
to figure out how many people saw it.
Is it going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Is that
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you figure what? There's six showings a night?
Yeah, so that's 8. So 700 divided by 18.
Is that how I do that?
I don't know.
I ended up in
summer. You went to college.
Yeah, but I failed Math 101.
Cougars
I
represent.
I ended up in summer school every summer.
There's no one here who knows how to...
No.
Jesus Christ.
What do you think we're doing here? I mean, we'd be creating rocket ships or something.
All right, I swear to God, I can't believe I'm doing this. But if someone out there knows... All right, hold on. Here we go. Hi, Rick Emerson shows this.
Hey, this is Dan. I was going to tell you how to divide.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, so embarrassing. Do you realize they put us in charge of a radio station? I can't even do
it's
simple...
heartwarming, actually.
Jesus. All right, so what am I... Okay, so hold on.
Yeah, that looks like enough money. We'll take it.
So it's $791 a screen, and we're figuring 18 showings over the weekend. What am I doing here? How do I do this?
Yeah, because you're figuring out how much money they made per screening.
You don't know what you're talking about. Let this guy figure. What's your name?
Dan.
Okay, what am I do here?
So you want to know how much...
How many people saw this? Yeah, how many people saw this, like in Portland?
Okay, so there's how many theaters or how many screens?
No. Okay. Boy, you know... I've got the calculator here. I just don't know what to do. Okay, here's the thing, Dan.
Okay.
Dan's helping me out. Okay, Dan?
Yes.
Okay, it averaged $791. Sarah's actually sitting on my lap now trying to use the computer. Dan's going to help me through this.
Okay, can I figure it out? I want to see if I'm right.
Okay, Dan, it averaged $791 a screen. So here in Portland, it made $791.
Every time it showed.
No, total.
Oh.
It averaged...
Oh, that's off.
It made seven... Yes, I know it is. It made $791 this weekend, and we figure there were 18 screenings.
We have to know how many times it showed.
No. Listen now. Everybody stop.
Okay, I think I got it.
Okay, but hold on. We got to see if Dan's... Okay. You keep the number to yourself, and we'll see if Dan's right.
Okay.
So 791.
Okay,
right?
But let's
so
stop
almost
here.
80. Right?
Okay, so there's $791 is what it made here.
Okay.
There were 18 screenings, and tickets are $8 a piece. I want to know how many people saw it.
Okay, so you got to divide first by your 18.
Dividing what by 18?
The 791.
All right, 791. Sarah's giving me the I knew it. Okay, divided by 18 equals 0. How is that possible? Wait, 791 divided by 18 equals...
It's painful to watch you do this.
44.
Okay, so then divide that by your ticket price. And
dividing 44 by 8?
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah's...
It's even more expensive in most places.
5.5.
I got 6.27. I divided by $7, because that's in between 6 and 8.
Oh, okay. So 44 divided by what, Sarah?
I divided it by 7.
Okay, 6.2. So 6 people saw it.
Per showing.
Wait, no, but I want to know how many people saw it total over the weekend.
Well, then multiply that back by...
Okay, we have to stop. The amount of time we spend on this is so wildly disproportionate to the amount of, like, interest anybody has in it.
Okay, then take that number and divide 791 divided by 6.
By 6? Okay, the 791 divided by 6 equals 131. So over the course of the weekend, 130 people saw this movie. Boy, even that seems too much, doesn't it?
Well, at least they weren't rioting in the food court.
No. All right, thank you, Dan.
Oh, no problem.
All right,
hey, I sent you a Britney Watch song. You'll have to look for it.
Is it the pink thing?
No, it's Southern Culture on the Skids.
Excellent. Did you email that to me?
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Dan.
Cool.
All right, there you go.
Bye.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Are you calling to mock our math abilities?
Yeah, it's 9,000 people over the course of the weekend.
Okay, well, that's wrong. Oh, nationwide?
Yeah.
So over the course of the weekend, in a country of 289 million people, 9,000 people saw this.
Yes.
That's
roughly,
like...
If you take...
So it's the size of, like, North Plains.
1,500 theaters.
So not even the population of... That's like one-third the population of Kennewick. Maybe. All right, that's like a truck stop, basically. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Okay.
Maybe we should look to see if we can get Sharon Stone on the show.
I bet we probably could
now.
Exactly. We could probably get her as an intern at this point. All right. I like how once I challenged the Cougar Pride, you were all over to, like, getting the answer. Like, because you wash your hands of it, and then as soon as I made the WU crack, you're over here, like jumping in front of me to get on the calculator.
I did really good on my SATs in math. Which is why I didn't have to retake Math 101 after I failed it.
I never took an SAT in my life. I've always kind of wanted to, actually. I've always wanted to go back and take an SAT now just to see how I would do. I would probably do shamefully badly.
Weren't we going
to
take an IQ test a while ago?
It takes like 5 hours, I found out.
Oh.
Because you got to get a proctor. You know, you got to get a guy to come in and... You know, if somebody's willing, and don't send me to stupid internet-based, you know, click here to this website to take an IQ test. If we're going to take an IQ test on the show, like, I want it to be the real deal. But that's where they put you in a room, and there's a guy with a stopwatch and a number two pencil, and you get, like, 3 hours. And that's it. Like, that's the only way I would do it. Because you go to this stupid, you know, the websites, and it's like I have an IQ of like 190, and I know that's not true. Okay, so this Tori Spelling show that I missed out on.
Yes.
Did you guys both watch this?
I did.
I don't have cable.
So what show is this?
Well, this is So Notorious.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's a play on, all right. And is this a reality program? It's got to be.
It's a quasi-reality slash sitcom type of thing.
Sounds fantastic.
She moves away from the Spelling mansion.
Did her dad produce this show?
You know, I'm not sure.
Do I detect the liver spotted hands of Aaron Spelling?
No, it was rumored that her parents are mad at her for making that show because she mocks her mom. Because right. I guess her mom has like an eBay room in her house.
Uh-huh.
For just like everything
she sold one of her shawls on eBay.
Well,
and Lonnie Anderson plays her mom. Facelift, her mouth is stretched all the way back to her ears.
Oh, creepy.
I mean, Lonnie Anderson is like two little beady eyes, a nose, and a huge mouth.
Well, Lonnie Anderson, time has not been kind to her.
No.
There are some women that
age... The plastic surgeon was, though.
No, there's some women that age gracefully and some women who don't. And it's like, you know, Lonnie Anderson's got the thing where she looks like a woodchuck hoarding nuts for the winter.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because she like, her cheeks are huge. Like, it's not just cheekbones. She's got, I mean, it's like cheekbones, and then it's like she's got cheekbone implants almost. I mean, it's like, it really is like she's got two small, like, it's like she's got two small hacky sacks.
And she's wearing that red rouge that Reagan used to wear during his TV speeches.
So like, she looks like she's going to look when they embalm her someday. All right.
So her voice is still the same.
I don't understand. The only reason I asked about Aaron Spelling is I can't imagine how Tori Spelling gets work without her dad there. You know what I mean?
Right. It's but like at least she's doing something.
Tori Spelling is like that idiot guy at your company that only, you know, he's like Big Tom's son, and that's the only reason he can get a job. I have no idea who looks at Tori Spelling as money in the bank. Right there. Hire that Spelling girl.
And she looked better as a redhead, I think. Instead of a blonde dark hair.
She'd look better if you sanded her face off and then set fire to her. And then put her behind a curtain where no one has to see her.
The show is fairly amusing.
She'd look better in a burqa.
The show is fairly amusing. She's moved out on her own. Okay. And living in a high-rise apartment.
At the young age of 50, she's moved out. All right, whatever. I don't even know what... You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a picture of Tori Spelling when she was first born and a picture of Tori Spelling at like 16 and then 20 and then now. Because I'm guessing it's like three different faces, four different faces. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you see those pictures. Have you ever seen those pictures of Pam Anderson from when she was a Labatt's beer girl?
Yeah.
Brunette, flat-chested, tiny little lips. I mean, didn't look. I mean, you would not know it was her. Same thing with Lonnie Anderson, by the way. Lonnie Anderson, who originally was much smaller chested and was a brunette, didn't. I mean, she had plastic surgery long before she ever even, you know, before anybody even knew who she was, before she even the WKRP days. I think Lonnie Anderson had some work done. So, all right. So there you go, Tori Spelling. And then you're watching a Flavor Reunion tonight.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, the friend I was supposed to watch it, I was going to watch it at her house. Yeah, she's out of town.
Yeah.
So I don't. I need to find a friend with cable.
Delaney at an exciting dentistry convention.
I think she's in Ohio visiting her friend or something. Okay. I don't know.
That sounds
Flavor of Love, though, if you guys missed that, it was the best show.
I did.
And so, well, tonight's the reunion. It was all these trashy women fighting for the love of Flavor Flav.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reunion tonight where all of them are going to be in the same room.
That sentence even exists. A bunch of women fighting for the love of Flavor Flav. Fighting for a guy who's like 80 and a crack addict with a huge clock around his neck.
Well, you know what's sad is that they have him, you know, in this big swank house and, like, you know, he has a butler and stuff. And it's been rumored that, I guess, that isn't even his house.
No.
I didn't know that.
Because he seems so responsible. Yes, you did.
No.
Where would Flavor Flav be getting the money for that to be his house?
I don't know.
Like,
I
live fantasy
in a dream
world.
I know.
It was
kind of sad, you know?
In what alternate reality does Flavor Flav seem responsible enough to you that he's rolling over mutual funds somewhere?
I want to see what his actual house looks like.
His actual house... All right.
It's like, why is Prince renting for $70,000 a month?
You seen the box that the printer came in back there? That's what Flavor Flav's actual house looks like. That's it. All right. Just look for the sign that says Maytag. That's the dependable. All right. So we've got that. God, we got a break here, don't we?
That was a good segment.
It really was action packed, and I want you to note that I got through three of the four things there. The only thing I didn't get to was Sport Fight, but I got to kind of wait on that anyway because I don't know. We're waiting for the promotions people to sort through all the semifinalists for that, for City versus Suburbs, which is coming up this weekend at the Rose Garden, by the way. We're going to have Matt the Law Lindland in the studio later on in the week, also Randy the Natural Couture. We got the scene of radio correspondent Lisa Goddard coming up later on this hour. She's going to talk about the Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, who slugged a guy. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian is going to be here. We've got... What else the hell? We have the top five AC/DC songs you probably never heard coming up. We got to try to get to the Three Little Pigs thing. And we're going to talk about Listener Party 9, as yet unnamed. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on Johnson 970. Trunk is back, and I know my rights, so you call me the bar for that. On two sharp attacks, just some type of law or something. Yeah. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. Live from Portland. Boy. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. I keep thinking that there's something big that I'm forgetting today. And I don't think there is.
No, no.
You know, we're amazingly on time. Can I tell you that? We are, so far, the only thing we haven't gotten to. I mean, we haven't talked about Sport Fight a whole lot because, again, we're waiting for the to get the official word on the semifinalists. They've got the Sport Fight 15 coming up this Saturday, City versus Suburbs. And we've helped them find a guy fighting for the city and a guy fighting for the suburbs. We'll talk about that. Later on, we're going to talk about this armless guy that got arrested. We got Whitney Houston news. The Star Wars kid. Remember the Star Wars kid? Speaking of lightsaber sound. The Star Wars kid, he's that kid that his... There was something, he filmed himself fighting with a lightsaber, George Michael on Arrested Development style, and his friends released it onto the internet. So there's a story about him, Liza Minnelli and sex, and then this extreme hygiene, when hygiene goes wrong. So we've got all of that to get to. We're going to be giving away Sport Fight tickets, and I got to get this Three Little Pigs thing as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent from The Hill, Washington, D.C. This is Lisa.
I never know.
Okay,
it's labeled Disney.
It's the same answer that it always is.
But now you've made me nervous about the answer that I've blanked out the answer.
Okay, do you want to change the label to Disney slash Lisa?
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Lisa Goddard, CNN Radio. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're fine, if slightly disorganized. Are you actually on the Hill?
Yes, I am. I'm in the Capitol.
Fantastic. Are you a power broker, would you say?
No, not at all.
Oh, well, never mind. The answer to that is yes, though. When someone says if you're a power broker, always say yes. They don't know the difference.
Oh, God, no.
All right. Hey, let me ask you this. So Cynthia McKinney, she's this Georgia... And I had no idea this story was going to turn out to be so fantastic. It was just this kind of a speed bump of a story when we first talked about it.
Yeah.
Georgia, and I'm reading now the actual copy. Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, she talked to supporters in Atlanta. And she apparently... Now, she slapped a Capitol Hill police officer because... She apparently, as a congresswoman, and this is, I'm just trying to test my recall here, she's able to sidestep security, but she did not have her ID. A security guard stopped her. Scuffle ensued. She slapped him. And then, has she been arrested?
No, she has not been arrested. What's happened now to the case is that Capitol Police have referred it to the U.S. attorney here in Washington.
Okay.
And, you know, it's interesting. We're not sure if she slapped him. Some people originally had said that she hit him in the chest with her cell phone. She and her staff have said that she turned around in response to him, that he grabbed her arm, in their words, and that she was turning around, reacting to that, and in the process of turning, just incidentally kind of swiped him.
Uh-huh.
It's not really clear what he did. The Capitol Police have been indicating that really he just touched her arm to try and stop her, but she says he grabbed her. You know, so it's really not clear what either person in this case has done. What I'm really interested to find out is you just have to assume that there is video of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And Cynthia McKinney's office has said they have not seen it, but surely Capitol Police have seen it, and they are the ones pushing forward with this case.
You know, and here's the great thing about this. The great thing about this is that if you couple, and again, I'm placing my bets right now. I don't claim to have perfect knowledge of this, but I am betting that she just flat-out slugged the guy. And I'll tell you why. Because you figure everyone in America has a latent hatred of security guards. And that's just true. I'm not saying they're bad people. Everyone has their, as the Desiderata said, even the dull and ignorant have their place. But, so everyone dislikes security guards. You add to that the assumed sense of entitlement that every congressperson must have in this country. I don't think I'm out of line inferring that a congressperson just sort of has that sort of vague sense about them. And the fact that she seems so defensive about it. I'm betting that when this comes out, that she's just going to have hauled off and just whacked the guy. Is she claiming that she's being set up by political foes, or that she's being entrapped somehow?
No, she has not made that particular claim, but she has in fact said that this was clear racial profiling, that she was stopped because of her race, that she feels other members of Congress who are not black would not have been stopped. Now, she did not have her congressional pin on at the time. That's the pin that identifies you as a member of the House. But, you know, security here and Capitol Police officers are trained to recognize all staffers by their face, not just by that pin. So they should have recognized her by their own training, but they didn't. And you know, she's in the past also had times where she has said that she feels like Capitol Police officers treat her differently because she's black. So I think that this case really exploded in one sense because the black community here, some of it, really rallied behind her and said, yes, we feel like this is a congresswoman who should be treated with respect. And she says that she was accosted by a Capitol Police officer.
Now,
you know, they, of course, say it was very different than that.
I've read, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I've read a couple news reports where she is claiming that she was, that when he stopped her, that she was, I don't know if she says groped, but touched inappropriately. And have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, that's what she said.
But what does she mean by touched inappropriately? Do we know what that means? Is that just means that he put his hands on her and he shouldn't have?
We don't know what that means. That's right. You're left to assume that for you have no idea what that means. I mean, does that mean that she feels like she shouldn't have been touched at all?
Right.
Was she touched in an inappropriate place? Was she touched too hard? You know, it's not clear at all what she means by that. And really only she and the officer know what happened. In fact, we don't know the name of the officer who was involved in this yet. So she really is pushing forward, and her allies are really having to make a difficult decision on basically just point blank, do they believe her? And do they believe what she's telling them behind closed doors happened? Because if Capitol Police is pursuing this, you have to imagine that they have some sort of reason that they're doing that. Of course, you never know. You know, if she has a point where she feels like the Capitol Police officers are racist, you know, then you could follow that logic and say, well, that's why they're pursuing this. But they don't have that history, the Capitol Police. So it really is a question of who you believe at this point. But you also have to believe that with this case proceeding, we're going to see some more evidence.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the video. That's going to be the best day. And let me ask you this, the bottom line. Let's assume that she's in the wrong here. And again, these are all just allegations. No one knows. I have my personal belief that everybody given the chance will whack a security guard. But let's assume for the moment that she is at fault. Bottom line, what is the worst that could happen to her?
What is the worst that can happen to her?
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine she could be charged with assault. She could go to trial. And then I don't know, it depends on what kind of assault, but she could face, I would imagine, some possible jail time. I wouldn't imagine it would be very much for a first offense. But I would think that would be one of the worst case scenarios for Ms. McKinney. Also, another possible bad scenario for her is she loses her election in November.
Right.
She returned to the House 2 years ago. She was reelected, but she had lost the race immediately before that. So she's one of the folks Republicans had already been targeting. She's very outspoken, very fiery, passionate debater. But she's someone that they thought was already vulnerable.
This is interesting, you know, because the Republican, the GOP talking points this year, they're so based around how Democrats are angry. That's the entire GOP platform so far seems to be. Well, Democrats seem very brittle and angry, and so this is clearly going to play right into that.
Yeah, I think that it does play into that. But, you know, I think she really is her own case. You don't see a lot of other Democrats and elected officials really coming around here. The only one is Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton of the District of Columbia, who doesn't really even have a vote in Congress, and she didn't even go to the press conference. She just sent a statement. So Democrats are really not touching this one. Ms. McKinney is on her own right now.
Excellent. Okay, well, I can't wait for there to be video. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent, a power broker on the Hill. Thank you, Lisa.
See ya.
All right, there you go. All right. It's 503-733. See, I think she's back in my court now. She's already hung up. I got to tell you. See, you thought my tote board was down. I think Lisa's coming. Or even if that was true, which it was not.
No, because she used to be
around.
More intimate with their talking. Like, she used to kind
more
of
intimate
draw,
with their talking.
Well, she used to draw you into her life a little bit.
She used to be more gropey.
And now she's just keeping it strictly business.
No. You know why? You know, it's because she's afraid of her own feelings for me. It's because she knows. See, it's because she knows that it would be very easy for her, Lisa Goddard, to go too far with me, Rick Emerson. That's why that is. Rick Emerson, reading my own name off the screen. I saw Basic Instinct 2, signed anonymous. The guy's already like, don't identify me.
He's not calling.
No, and he actually says right here, anonymous, don't use my name. I saw Basic Instinct 2, but only to determine if Sharon Stone is now shaving a private area. There is momentary nudity, and she looked pretty good for a nearly 50-year-old, although it's clear that she has, her breasts are fake, he says. And then he has a long, which I will not read, a long clinical explanation of why he believes that she's had implants. The movie sucked big time, although it's never boring. The plot is a total mess, and if anybody can explain the story clearly, it's a miracle. However, anyone who went wasn't going there expecting a whopping good tale, I'm sure. That's anonymous. All right, and then we've got like a jillion, literally a jillion, comments about this math. Apparently the math guy was wrong. Dan the math guy? And now you got the same answer as Dan the math guy, so you are apparently wrong too, Miss...
I told you I failed.
Miss W.C. Oh, see, first it's I get all new math. Then it's, then when you think you have the right answer, it's look at me, Coug Pride.
No, it's, now always, it's all like luck with math with me if I get something right.
All right, this guy says, Rick, I hate to be that kid, but the caller who said 9,000 people saw Basic Instinct 2 is wrong. The nationwide gross was 3.2 million. Assume everybody in the U.S. pays the same as we do for tickets. We are the only ones who count anyway. Sarah's $7 was good. Then it's simple. Divide the total by the ticket price. Whatever. Blah, 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 blah equals 450,000 people. Okay, so there you go. F Matt with the bloody ice pick. All right, so there you go. So apparently it's not 9,000. It's still terrible, though. It's still only good enough for ninth place. Good times. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Rick, I was in another office, could get your show. I ended up listening to Lars Larson. How do I get my ears to stop bleeding? All right, I have no advice to you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Hi, sports fans. Did you know this is the first day of the baseball season?
Yes.
It's true.
No, I didn't.
And the president threw out the first pitch. He was at the Cincinnati Reds game today. They were playing the Chicago Cubs. Meanwhile, Congress is going to investigate Major League Baseball on the allegation that people are using steroids. Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't know we were doing
The appointment of George Mitchell is a good sound one, and I think he'll do a good job along with his associates. But unfortunately, it's about a year later than it should have been.
How is it possible this is only happening now?
Yeah, well, the temptation to use steroids just won't go away.
I think it will always be there. But I think what you can do is make the consequences for drug use very severe, so that if someone does it and you can prove they've done it, there should be severe consequences.
Yeah, it's brand new.
It's the best part.
They're not role models anymore.
The best part, as opposed to the sterling models of American behavior they were, the best part is how this guy himself loses interest as the soundbite goes on. Listen to how by the end, even this guy barely cares.
I think it will always be there. But I think what you can do is make the consequences for drug use very severe, so that if someone does it and you can prove they've done it, there should be severe consequences.
It's like he's falling asleep or hanging up the phone.
Buy me some peanuts and crackers, Jack. I don't care if I ever get.
I don't understand. I know I've said this like five times, but how is it that they're only now? We think there might be steroid use.
Dishonesty only began in 1996. Before that, everyone was on it.
Maybe they're doing that on that newfangled movable type press they've got out there. Whatever. Okay, so there you go.
Well, starting today, you can download movies on the internet to keep their digital download.
Yes, it's called piracy, and it's free.
It's MovieLink LLC. Mm-hmm. Here's what you can download. Mm-hmm. The 40-year-old virgin, Rent, Hitch, King Kong, Memoirs of a Geisha.
Wait, let's take these one by one. Start from the top.
The 40-year-old virgin.
I saw that this weekend. I saw it that's an overstatement. It was playing in the background of a poker game. It seemed mildly amusing, but not worth $40.
Nope. Brent.
No.
It's all about death.
But they don't take
everyone has AIDS. AIDS, AIDS, AIDS.
It's great
everyone
family holiday
AIDS.
Fair.
Yeah.
As America's traumatized. Hitch.
What is Hitch? Hitch is that god-awful Will Smith film. Where he is a matchmaker See, he's a sassy black man, mm-hmm. and he sets up people on dates. She's a sassy black woman who also sets people up on dates. See, she sets up women with men. He sets up men with women.
But do they both have trouble in their own love life?
No, but see, the amazing thing is, initially, they don't like each other. No, see, that's the whole thing. It's like you're on the edge of your seat because at the beginning of the film, they don't get along. See, and she thinks he's a playa, and he thinks she's an ice queen. They dislike each other intensely, but then at the end, they come together. It's fantastic.
Wow. Sounds like a Hollywood story to me.
Yes.
King Kong.
Yeah, whatever.
Memoirs of a Geisha.
All icing, no cake.
Pride and Prejudice.
No one cares. No one anywhere.
The Big Lebowski.
What? That, pick out the thing that doesn't belong there. All right.
Easy Rider.
What? Who at this point in time needs to pay $45 for some aided agent?
Who would want to watch it?
The hippie tripe. Jesus. Yeah. All right. Whatever.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
All right. We can be done with this list now. This is suddenly, it started out amusing, but now we've reached films that I have no comment on. What could I possibly say about Easy Rider at this point?
Darwin Watch.
Let's do your Darwin Watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Sure.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't! I ate all my caps.
Don't!
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hit him. Ow! My heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
So this headline says, a man dies when blown out of a car. A 32-year-old San Diego man died after he stood up in a T-top sports car to cool off and was blown out of it on the Poway Freeway. Stephen Andrew Turner pronounced dead at the scene at 7:30 p.m. Friday night on I-15 just south of Ted Williams Parkway.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The driver of the vehicle, Joseph Recapa, was arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated and could face other charges. He's been bailed out of the county jail. Now, it's unclear if Turner was struck by another vehicle when he hit the road. Earlier reports indicate he had been struck by another vehicle.
Look for the track. How hard could it possibly be to figure that out? Oh, and the best part about this story is you can see it. That's one of those stories where it, even as you hear it, your mind's eye is creating the little film that goes along with it. A T-top, of course, which is like the trashiest kind of convertible you could possibly... I mean, I'm not into convertibles anyway, but I mean, if you're going to have one, a T-top just screams. It just screams like Schlitz, you know, just like bad crank and like some homemade tattoo. Standing up in the T-top, not just sitting up, leaning out, actually standing up while speeding down the highway in a T-top and just being taken out like a bad paper kite. You can totally see that. Ah, good times.
That's it.
Here's your Darwin Watch. The Rick Harrison Show for Monday.
Don't! Another one bites the dust.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
That's fantastic. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Chris. How you doing,
Chris,
Rick?
Chris, bring it, brother. What do you got?
Hey, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
I sure wish you wouldn't interrupt Phil Hendry for hockey. You can hardly even get the signal, but beyond that...
Thank you.
What difference would it
make?
Thank you.
I like a first you kiss me, then you hit me. Thanks, Chris.
Well,
thank you. All right.
Listen, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yes.
I've got two quotes. I will bet nobody can get it. I'll say the first one. You don't get it.
What is this in aid of? This is completely unprompted.
Well, you were talking about movies, and I was just thinking about it.
You're just creating your own bit?
I drive around all day. If I don't have a book on tape, I'm listening to you guys. So.
Are you a delivery guy?
No. Much more important than that.
Well, you can't
just
say...
I can't give it up. But,
come on. Hold on. You drive around. You're a cop, aren't you?
Okay, when you get sued, I'll be the guy that shows up handing you the papers. If you get sued.
Are you one of those,
You're a server?
You're a server. You're a subpoena guy. What are those called, Tim?
It's called a process server.
Oh, see, now you wouldn't admit it. Now you just admitted it. See, look how my cunning plan.
Because you would probably admit it to, repo guys or something.
My clever ruse. So you're the guy. So I've actually encountered you. I mean, not you, but one of your brother before. It's the whole, You know, where he comes up and he goes, Rick, and they fake you out, too. It's like the bill collector where you answer the phone at, like, you know, and I learned just to screen it. I mean, we all learned the same lesson in radio. You just stop answering the phone because it's a guy.
False familiarity.
Because you answer it and a guy goes, hello, and a guy goes, Rick Emerson? You're like, yeah. And he goes, hey, I'm calling from Con Ed, you know, and it's like you owe him $6,000. So I've been served before, and I forget why. Did I shoot somebody? That seems unlikely. Well, whatever, but I got sued, and the guy literally, like, I'm walking out of my apartment in the morning, walking to the car, and he comes up and he goes, hey, Rick, how's it going? And I turn around and go, hey, hi, and he goes, Rick, and I go, yeah, and he goes, hey, this is for you, and he hands me the little paper tube. So,
there you go. That's what happens, baby.
All right, process server Chris, so what is your, what is this? You're going to give me a quote from a film for some reason?
Yeah, if you can't get the first one, I'll give you the second quote from the same movie.
Do I win something? Do I get, like, do I get out of a lawsuit for free or something if I get these right?
It's your intelligence.
Yeah, okay.
How old are you? You're 40, right?
No.
40 yet? Close?
No, I'm not. No, but thank you. I'm glad that I look aged.
Oh, you're getting close to 40 every day.
I'm glad that the crow's feet and...
What happened?
Some of us are already there.
You shouldn't have cut your hair.
Okay, you're really not gaining any points with me here. I mean, you started strong, but you're sinking quickly. So, okay, what are the quotes?
Quote is this. He's sitting at the table talking. He says, Jason, can a house be evil? In its rafters, in its very foundation, can a house be evil? The guy in the movie wears a lot of, those old 70s-style professor sports coat and tight jeans, if that helps you.
Oh, it's Amityville Horror.
Negative.
What? Can a house be evil? It's not the movie House, is it?
Nope.
Can a house be evil? See, I know I'm losing. I know. See, the whole problem with this is I know it's going to be some really obvious movie, and then I'm going to lose all my geek credibility, and all the geeks out there will think that I'm fronting. Can a house be evil?
Now, there's another scene in the movie.
Yeah, okay.
Where the hero comes roaring up in his Jeep.
Right.
And the sheriff is standing there next to his station wagon. And you can see the sheriff with one of those old style fans shoving through the window to his fat wife inside the car. And he pulls up and he hands the hero the gun. And the hero stands there and he says, this town is falling apart. You're running away. Okay, that's all you get.
Sarah's giving me the cutoff. Sarah's giving me the hang up signal.
No, I mean, it's not like it's not interesting, but you can only try and guess so long if you don't get it.
Time is up.
I don't know. Well, see, now there's all this pressure now. I feel like all my geek cred is on the line.
It is.
Oh, okay. All right, Chris, I have to go now.
Salem's Lot.
Oh, well, see, I'm not a big fan of Salem's Lot. I've only ever seen that once.
That doesn't
get well.
I read it, but I only said once. Okay, I'm sorry. Now I have to wear. I wear ribbons of shame for a whole family.
Thanks for the fun, though, Rick. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thanks for thinking I was 40, by the way. All right. Yes. There you go. Thanks. All right.
Nothing wrong with 40.
I'm just saying. It's Salem's Lot. Sarah's holding up a note that says we need to get a call screener. No, it's so funny. As I'm pondering, Sarah's over there, and she's miming me pressing the hang-up button. And she's doing it really forcefully, like an exaggerated pantomime, like, hang up.
Well, no, it's not anything against him, but I don't think anyone really wants to sit and hear you think.
So I hear the gears grinding.
Yeah.
I just whacked my face into the microphone.
Are you okay?
I just slammed my lips and my teeth into the metal microphone. Ow, that hurt.
Oh, boy.
Maybe we need thinking sound effects.
Oh, we do?
Or some
like
sort
of Jeopardy
squishy
sticker?
Covering on this mic.
Yeah, we have squishy covers.
You notice how the show was all on track there for a second, and then goddamn Chris has to call up with his completely ad hoc, apropos of nothing, let me challenge your geek cred on the air and emasculate you in front of all the Star Wars people. Thanks a lot for that, process server. All right, do we have to break here? We do, don't we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's break. Here's what's coming up. We have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. We're talking about last night's Sopranos. We got these top five AC/DC songs. We are definitely going to do that. We're absolutely going to do it without fail. Also, Sport Fight tickets. I got some Sport Fight tickets we're going to be giving away. More of your phone calls, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. We are back after this.
You know I wanna be damned, dancing to the moon.